Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 29 of the Football Absurdity Podcast. It is Friday, March 8th, 2019. My name is Jeff Grisco, and I'm here with my co-hosts, Evan Hoovler and Mike Valverde. Folks, how are you guys doing today?
Life is a hopeless cycle of despair that usually ends in a long, drawn-out, painful death. Jeff, how are you doing, Mike?
I bumped my toe.
Oh man. So we're in a couple different moods today. This week we don't have a particular topic. We're just going to talk about some of the hot topics du jour. A little Antonio Brown talk, a little Kyler Murray, a little DK Metcalf, and then what I figured out as the circle of suck or the dark circle. It's some quarterbacks that did a little bit of musical chairs and what that might mean for their teams in 2019. So first off, the big news in the NFL last night was Antonio Brown was briefly a Buffalo Bill, never a Buffalo Bill, was only a Buffalo Bill in Ian Rappaport's head for a little bit, but it got everybody all a flitter. And so guys, I do have a question for you about this Antonio Brown to the Bills thing. Who do you think makes the Bills Ring of Honor first? Anquan Boldin or Antonio Brown? Both guys were never really played with the Browns. So,
do the Bills have a minimum standard for the Ring of Honor? Like, do they have to induct somebody every year? Because that probably gets pretty sad in the last 10 years.
Yeah, that is pretty sad. I mean, it's probably anybody who didn't retire at halftime, like Vontae Davis did.
Oh, he should get in there just for that.
Just for the balls on that guy. Yeah, he was that's probably my favorite story because you see it on Twitter, you're like, no way, there's no way. And then that's exactly what happened. But guys, I'm gonna pass it to you. And Mike, I think I'll pass it to you first. So Antonio Brown's leaving Pittsburgh. That situation has pretty much become untenable unless he has tanked his value so much by doing weird Antonio Brown things that he can't be traded. So, but where do you think, Mike, his best destination for fantasy production next year would be? Let's say, you know, ignore salary cap, ignore anything like that. Just what situation do you think would be best for him in 2019?
You know, I'd like to say the Colts, but you know, we're talking about the Browns, and I think that would be pretty ideal for him. They already have set running backs. They got a good offensive line. Quarterback looks really good.
Yeah, they.
Why not?
That's actually a good call because you've got Jarvis Landry and Antonio Callaway, both of which would be better served as number twos to a much better wide receiver one. Landry's been a wide receiver one in the past, but that's not how the Browns offense used him last year, especially with Freddie Kitchens. So I kind of like that destination with the Browns. So Evan, you know, Mike thinks that the Browns are the best destination for the Steelers, kind of an inner divisional swap. So that's why I don't think it'll happen, but I do like the idea of the destination. But Mike, where do you think the best destination for Antonio Brown's fantasy in 2019 would be?
You know, think probably as far as fantasy wise, if we're considering fantasy wise, probably the Colts.
Well, you're just saying that because you're a Colts fan. I'm on to your game. That's why I think it would be the 49ers. There's, you know, it'd be him and George Kittle. Nobody else. He won't get as many targets anywhere. Quality targets. But actually, my hot take is if you look at Antonio Brown's demands, he wants to go somewhere where he's the number one wide receiver. He wants to go somewhere where he can win a championship. He wants to go somewhere where he's beloved. He wants to go somewhere with a high powered offense. Do you know what fits all those criteria right up until this last season? A team called the Pittsburgh freaking Steelers. He's in the best situation right now, right up until he started running his mouth, until the owner started talking about the locker room is Ben Roethlisberger and 52 kids, right up until him and Big Ben started sniping each other in the media. Like, he was in his best possible situation, excepting, you know, obviously going to the Patriots would be a great situation, but that's not going to happen. There's no way in the world they're training him to the Patriots. He was in the best possible situation, and they start running his mouth, and now he's going to end up somewhere much worse. I don't think he really ends up anywhere that puts him anywhere close to being a first round talent next year, in terms of fantasy production. I think that, you know, wherever he ends up, unless he ends up somewhere like something crazy, like Green Bay or something like that, I think he's a third round talent next year. On the Bills, I was pegging him as late third, early fourth next year, for the 20 minutes he was on the Bills last night. So if he goes to the Colts next year, Mike, where do you think he ends up in fantasy? Because he's going to be sharing targets with T.Y. Hilton. He's going to be sharing targets with the greatest tight end of all time. I mean, where do you think he ends up? If he's a Colt next year, what do you think his draft price is?
Yeah, I think
Mike's going to pick him in the first round.
Absolutely. I can't deny that. Yeah, you know, I really still think he's a second rounder. Colts were at least first or second at the lowest in passing last year, and Andrew Luck, and you just go on, and they need a field stretcher. So I really think that almost any team he comes on, he's going to be, you know, the automatic number one, even if it's with the Colts and T.Y. Hilton. It's just too hard to ignore. And yeah, I wouldn't drop him anywhere later than mid second round, as far as that, if he goes to Indianapolis.
On the Colts. Okay. Yeah. So Evan, do you know, where you think, well, given the rumors that happened today, it's looking like he might end up a Raider. But other than that, where do you think would be best for his fantasy?
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, this has Raiders written all over it, because they love a bad boy. They love an old washed up number one who's they don't know that he's washed up yet. And John Gruden can sell him on that. I think it's going to go anywhere but a team who can make a championship run, because those are the GMs looking to overpay for this kind of stuff. I would say Arizona.
Arizona.
They've been in the news a lot lately. Yeah. Although I think it was Ian Rappaport said they're out. But as you pointed out, these media reports seem conflicting these days. So I don't know. Miami feels like they have the picks. I don't know if anyone can compete with the Raiders' three first round picks, though. You know, they can afford to overpay, and they love to overpay. God, it's the worst thing ever.
Yeah, I mean, they could easily. I mean, three first round picks. They could easily give up the Bears pick. That's the worst one you guys have, right? The Raiders.
So we have 4, 24, and 27, if I recall correctly.
Yeah. So I mean, one of 24 and 27 plus next year's second, I guess. That seems very Raidersy to trade away for Antonio Brown. So if he is in Oakland, though, do you think? I mean, going into last year, I was all hyped up on Amari Cooper because of what John Gruden has done to wide receiver ones in the past. Do you think that he could be a top five wide receiver with the Raiders? Or I'll be honest, I didn't watch that much Raiders football last year.
There's not a lot to watch.
You're the Raiders fan here. Yeah. I try to not subject my eyeballs to that sort of thing.
Well, we know Carr is good. Carr has it in him, at least, to be good. So I would imagine that the potential is there. The hype potential definitely will be there. Yeah, I would say if he goes to the Raiders, he's going to be a late second round player. You never know, though, with these old wide receivers, when the year is that they're just going to drop off. I think that he can work well with Derek Carr, too. Derek Carr seems to be able to massage egos decently.
Well, that's what happens when
you're the only guy remaining, you know, on Gruden's pile.
Well, I mean, Derek Carr is like, he seems to be the personality equivalent of mayo stard. Did you guys see that this week? The mayonnaise and mustard that Heinz is selling. He seems to be the equivalent of that, personality wise. So I could see him working well with a high, oh my God, I lost the word. Hold
Caucasian.
On. What was that?
The word you were looking for is Caucasian.
Okay, no, what I was saying was Derek Carr could work with somebody that's high profile, high strung, like an Antonio Brown, because he seems very laid back with it. I mean, you don't go through life with eyeliner tattooed on your face like Derek Carr without you know, being able to take the back seat when somebody makes fun of you. I mean, I already gave my piece. The best place for Antonio Brown to be, I think, first fantasy production is still Pittsburgh. They showed last year they're losing Le'Veon Bell, but they never had him last year. I mean, Juju got 166 targets last year, Antonio Brown 168. He could still produce at a high level there. That's the best place for him to be. He won't be there, so I'm going to be a homer and say the best place for him is San Francisco. He's the number one overall pick if he's in San Francisco, because it's going to go him, George Kittle, Jerick McKinnon, and then Jimmy G. At the end of the year, the top four ranked fantasy players. Just putting that out there. All right, then. So since he is going to be leaving,
stunned silence.
I know. Since he is going to be leaving Pittsburgh, what do you guys think will happen with Juju Smith-Schuster in 2019? Because I'm seeing a lot of rumblings from that Juju's going to have. He's going to build on his 2018 campaign, that he's going to take a huge step forward. And I'll tell you guys what I think about that, but I'm curious what you guys think about Juju going. And Evan, we'll start with you.
Do you know, on the one hand, playing opposite one of the best receivers is a great way to get open and one-on-one coverage. On the other hand, the Pittsburgh Steelers seem to be able to pull wide receiver twos out of thin air for years. Didn't they find Juju like sleeping in their parking lot or something?
So, I think he was a second round pick, but yeah.
It could go either way.
Yeah, and they do have James Washington in the building, who's going to be a second year player. He's the guy who we talked about last year. I said, watching him out there, you're like, why is that running back running these wide receiver routes? He's like 5'10", 200 pounds. He's built like a running back. So he could become the wide receiver too. Evan, do you think Juju becomes a top five wide receiver this year without Antonio Brown? Cause I'll run down the stats he had last year, and this might kind of explain why I'm a little skeptical. He had 166 targets. He caught 111 of them for 1,426 yards and 7 touchdowns. So I mean, do you think he can take an even bigger step forward, or do you think he's kind of capped out there?
I'm thinking about the wide receivers at the top, and I you know, it's kind of on the decline now that I'm thinking about it. And Juju Smith-Schuster is what, 22 years old? That's why I think he can step it up, because he's only 22. He's still learning stuff, you know. It's only his third, it's a 30-year wide receiver breakout. Sure, I'm optimistic.
You're optimistic. Mike, what do you think?
I'm also optimistic.
Wow. Okay, guys, I am not optimistic, and here's why.
Thank God. So agreeing. Let's.
Yes. So this is what I don't understand with the Juju Smith-Schuster love. Okay. He'll be getting number one cornerbacks on teams. That's negligible. That'll be a few times a year. That's not a huge deal. He has 166 targets last year. The most targets that Antonio Brown ever got when he was peak Antonio Brown was 193 targets. So you're talking what, 27 target difference? That's a target and a half a game. And his catch rate went down last year. His yardage was buoyed by a couple extremely long touchdowns, but he was already top. He was number four in targets. He was top five in receptions, top five in yards. And so for him to take the leap forward, you're saying, okay, so he's got to improve on his seven touchdowns. So the big breakout is, okay, he's going to score a lot more touchdowns, which are, I mean, notoriously the most fluky thing in the league. I mean, Tyler Lockett and Calvin Ridley were tied with the fifth most touchdowns in the league last year. And same with Mike Williams. So it's like, you can't count on those touchdowns, and that's the only room I really see for him to take a huge step forward next year, because he's already among the tippy top in targets, receptions, and yards and clearing out Antonio Brown. There's, I mean, are they going to give him 15 targets a game? I mean, he was already averaging 10 targets a game. So I just don't think there's the pie is going to get that or his slice of the pie is going to get that much bigger. And I also think that without Antonio Brown, that offensive pie shrinks entirely. So even if he does get a bigger cut of it, it's going to be less potent. There's going to be less pie to go around. So if he takes a bigger cut, it doesn't matter. He can eat a whole personal pan pizza. That's different from, you know, eating half of an extra large, which is kind of what he did last year versus, you know, what he might do this year. So I'm not as bullish on Juju Smith-Schuster and seeing what I'm seeing in the industry on Twitter and such. I think that I might be the anti-Juju guy this year. Which sucks because I love Juju. I mean, Juju, he's so much fun, you know, with the bike thing, with wearing his own jersey out for Halloween. Like he went to Halloween as himself, so in a full Steelers outfit. So, I mean, I want to like Juju, but it's I just don't see him cracking the top five. Just there's not a lot of room for growth there, except for touchdowns. So, you know, give him 3-4 more touchdowns and sure, he'll jump from, he was number 9 last year. Sure, he could jump into the top five, but I'm not going to bank on that kind of jump in production. So that's kind of where I see what I see going on with Juju going into 2019.
I am literally slicing right now, pizza right now, and you made it taste like footballs.
No, your talk of pizza is what gave me the idea for the analogy for the personal pan. So right now he's going as wide receiver 8. And I mean, there's question marks for people ahead of him. Like depends where Odell Beckham ends up. Depends where Antonio Brown ends up. But other than that, there's not a lot of room for him to crack the top 5, which it sounds like a lot of people think he might do by taking this huge leap forward. Cause I mean the top 5, I mean, Nuke's going to be in there. Nuke Hopkins, Devontae Adams, Michael Thomas, Julio Jones. Those seem pretty fit there. Tyreek Hill will probably be in the top 5 or 6. And I just think that leaves Juju top 7 at best, which if he's going as the number 8, not a lot of room there to improve. And that's
do you think Brown's share is going to go to other players, or do you think Pittsburgh's offense is going to take a noticeable step backwards?
I think it's going to be both A and B because, I mean, Antonio Brown is still one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, and he was still, you know, he still led the team in target playing in week 16. He was still Roethlisberger's guy on the field, and that kept the chains moving, that kept the offense humming. So his target distribution will end up with other players, but at the same time, the number of targets they inevitably have to go down, but you know, I see them being distributed between the bevy of guys they have going on there. Cause you can take his 168 targets last year and distribute them, you know, a little bit around the team and say they lose two pass attempts a game. You're looking at, that's 10 targets a game to pass between, Connor Samuels, Stephen Ridley can get on it, Juju, Vance McDonald's, Jesse James. There's just James Washington takes the biggest leap because he only got 38 targets last year, and he'll be the number 2 guy, unless, hey, this might be the year that, this Darius Hayward Bay, this might be his year he finally breaks out, but I doubt that.
World's greatest optimist competition has been won.
Yeah. Yes.
Where does he go in your head? We're 9th or what?
Oh, Juju?
Yeah.
Yeah, 9th. The problem is where I would take him versus where he is going, because he's going ahead of like Thielen and Diggs, and one of those, and that's because one of those guys is going to cannibalize the other and end up ahead of him. He's going ahead of Woods and Cooks in LA, and the same deal. It's hard to say because of the question marks with Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham, but I think, you know, 8, 9, 10 is fine for Juju just because he showed last year with the volume he can get, he's a top 10 guy, but my thing against that is everybody saying Juju is going to take a huge step forward this year without Antonio Brown. And it doesn't make sense. There's no room for him to take a step forward. And at the same time, I saw a stat yesterday, Juju's target share went down with Antonio Brown off the field. When Antonio Brown wasn't on the field, he got 21% of targets. When he was on the field, he got 24% of targets. It's a small difference, but it shows that he's, you know, there's nowhere else for him to go. He's getting his targets already. So if people are taking him 8, 9, 10, thinking that he's going to jump into the top five, I'm taking him 8, 9, 10, thinking, hey, there's a huge chance he ends up 10, 11, 12. But it gets a little bit messy after him because, like I said, you're getting into the Thielen Diggs territory where one of them is going to end up ahead of him, but you're not sure who. Same with Woods and Cooks. And then you get guys like Keenan Allen, Kenny Golladay, guys who have, you know, Keenan Allen has to put together an entire season. He's having trouble doing that. Kenny Golladay has to show that he can do it for a whole season. So guys may or may not end up ahead of Juju. Juju kind of represents the last solid player, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, I'll take him. Right now, I drafted him in my home league last season. I drafted him in the 8th round, so I get to keep him for the 7th round. So I'm hoping at least 10th will suffice.
Yeah, I think that'll be okay, and that's a nice humble brag. Like, you know what? I hope he's worth the 7th. Yeah, I hope he's worth the 7th round value. But if we're gonna talk humble brags, in my home, I got James Conner for $1 last year, so I get to keep him for $11. So if we're talking humble brags, Evan, you only do yearly, right? You don't do keepers.
Yep, I don't do keepers. I like to get all new toys every year, and I don't want to live with my regrets.
Yeah, I am a mix. I'm not a huge dynasty head. I do like limited keepers, just so that if I'm right, I'm right for a couple of years, but I'm not a huge dynasty guy. Even though I won Something Awful Dynasty Startup this year. So big ups to me. So, all right. Well, that is enough Antonio Brown discussion. We're going to move on to a couple of rookies who made some news this week at the combine or last week at the combine. It's Kyler Murray and DK Metcalf. A couple of guys who are kind of the talk of, you know, Dynasty Twitter and all that stuff. They seem to be the two of the more controversial guys this year. Kyler Murray, for those who don't know, he's a he's a quarterback out of Oklahoma. He's kind of a slight guy. He came his combine. He was 5'10 and 1/8 inches, which, you know, means he's 5'11 in the normal guy community. If you know that joke. Every guy who says he's 5'11 is 5'10. Every guy who says he's 6 foot tall is actually 5'11. But he 5'10 and 1/8 inches, 207 pounds, nine and a half inch hands. And that's all we know about Kyler Murray. He didn't do any drills. He didn't do any passing, running, anything. Supposedly he's going to do it at his pro day, but we don't know. So there's a lot to be said about Kyler Murray. He's a small guy. There's accusations that he's bad at the board. He's not great at interviews. As if you want to watch his Dan Patrick Show interview, he hemmed and hawed for multiple minutes about whether he's going to do baseball or football without really answering the question. He basically told Dan Patrick he doesn't owe him an answer to the question, which is kind of a weird thing to kind of a weird position to have when you're on an interview show. And despite all this, he was the 2018 Heisman Trophy winner, the Davey O'Brien Award winner for the best quarterback in the country. And there's talk that he's going to go number one overall. So it's the time of liars. March is the time of liars in the NFL. You know, the Cardinals supposedly want to take him first overall. That could be somebody saying, hey, come up and pay for this draft price. You know,
that feels like posturing.
Yeah, it does feel like posturing. Especially given that people are saying that, you know, Josh Rosen might go for a third, which is kind of wild to me, because if your team is telling you, hey, you want to trade up and take this quarterback in the top 10, and then less than 12 months later, that same evaluation team's going, all right, we need to ditch this guy, just get him out of here for a top 100 pick. And then you want to take this guy with your number one overall pick. It does feel like posturing, but we can't comment on posturing. So
I wonder if Josh Rosen's feelings are hurt.
Well, there was a whole thing where he deleted all of his Cardinal stuff off of his Instagram, but he had been supposedly been hacked. So he said he had been hacked before anybody discovered all the Cardinal stuff was missing. So I tend to believe him, but like I said, March is the time of liars in the NFL. So Kyler Murray, he's a small guy, but he's in the same sort of build as a Baker Mayfield or a Russell Wilson. It's kind of a shorter scrambler. And I'm encouraged by his height being, you know, a true 5'10", not a baseball 5'10", though conspiracy theorists are saying he might've had like taped quarters to his heels in his socks, which is kind of an interesting thing to give himself a little boost. What do you guys think of Kyler Murray just in general, or, you know, what do you think if he does go to Arizona, what does that mean for David Johnson, for Larry Fitz, for Christian Kirk? Cause he has been coached by Cliff Kingsbury in the past when they're at Texas together.
So the guy shows up to combine, steps on a scale, stands next to a height measurement chart, and then leaves. And why can't we shut up about him? I don't understand what even happened. This is the weirdest thing ever. It's like WWE level posturing.
Yeah. Well, not only did he do that, he met with teams and they were like, all right, do you know your Gruden quarterback camp thing, show diagram this play, diagram this, that, show me what you're looking at. And apparently he bombed all of that. So not only he showed up, he got measured, he failed the only test he took, and the result of that is we're talking about him like a potential number one overall pick.
What do you think, Mike? I'm just baffled by the whole thing. I'm a Dwayne Haskins guy. I'm a big Ohio State fan, and so I want Dwayne Haskins to go to the Giants where they have a built-in squad for him. So I'm just, it's hard to not cloud this news with my own bitterness and desire. So what do you think, Mike? You're probably more neutral than I am.
The whole thing around this, the draft and what players do and what they don't do, what they say and how they perform on the combine, really isn't all of that as far as how much coaches intake and what they want to do with their team. So I really think that players, they choose on what they can do to not hurt their stock instead of help their stock, unless they're one of the lesser players. And I think Kyler Murray is one of those guys where he'd rather just not hurt his stock and where it is. And therefore he's not going to show off anything during the combine. He's going to go way in for whatever reasons and then leave. And it's just one of the things where these coaches know where they're going to pick these players by now. And so I sincerely doubt he's going to go to Arizona. I don't think that they're just going to give up on Rosen after 1 year and draft Kyler Murray. I would even doubt that if this was Andrew Luck's coming out year, that they would draft Andrew Luck over and take him over Josh Rosen. They built their team around what they wanted to do with Josh Rosen. It's why they took Josh Rosen. So to say, okay, well, now we're going to go with Kyler Murray, that's just garbage. So that's what I think. I think he'll probably do some things in a workout for teams that are looking around his draft status, his stock, you know, wherever that might be in the first round. And he'll have a little private workout and see, okay, well, yeah, he can throw the ball, so that's great. And then wherever he ends up falling is where he ends up falling in this draft.
I want Bosa to go number one, and then Haskins goes number two, and the world reels knowing the Ohio State dominance at the pro level.
All right, so Bosa goes one, Haskins goes two, but who's trading up to take Haskins? Because that's the Niners.
I want
Giants. My question, the Giants are trading.
Yeah.
So the Giants go from the 6th to the number 2 pick. maybe give the Niners back four spots. Yeah,
you know, you make a good point. They don't need to trade to number two. They can just trade to number three. You're right. The Niners aren't going to be picking.
Yeah.
They're not going to run the smoke and mirrors that Arizona's doing.
So that's for Dwayne Haskins, though. You want Haskins to go to the Giants. Do you think Haskins goes ahead of Murray, though?
I've been following Ohio State for 30 years, and my father's been following them for 70-some-odd years. He is by far the most pro-ready quarterback this team has ever churned out. He's just very – I mean, you can tell it's kind of indicating it's telling that his 40-yard dash was 5-plus seconds. That's not what he does. He's just a supreme pocket passer. So I definitely – we don't have enough of those in the NFL, and it feels like people get too hyped about running quarterbacks who rarely win championships. So that's where that's what I want.
All right. So, Mike, if you don't think he's going to the Cardinals, where do you think Murray is going to go, and do you think Haskins will go ahead of him?
You know, it's possible. It's really one of those things where Haskins had a great workout in the combine, and you know, I've just trashed on the combine earlier, but
some GMs, they
fall in love with these kind of players, like the Raiders. You know, I don't think that whatchamacallit watched any of the combine. He just saw the numbers and said, "This is a guy we're going to pick." So you got some owners out there that are like that. But if I had to rank them one and two, I would take Kyler Murray number one and then Haskins number two.
All right. So where does Murray go then? So I'll run down the top 10 order, because I doubt somebody's going to trade up more than into the, you know, one of the teams in the top 10 is going to take him. So you've got the Cardinals, the Niners. We've already ruled out the Cardinals. Apparently Niners don't need a quarterback. Jets just took Darnold. Raiders at four. Evan, you think that the Raiders are pretty stuck on Carr?
I mean, he survived all the cuts that Gruden made. It seems like it.
All right. So then you got Bucks, Giants, Jags, which is interesting because they're supposed to go get Nick Foles, but we'll see. Lions, Bills, and Broncos. So out of those teams, who do you think are the most likely ones to end up with Kyler Murray? Personally, I think it's the Bucks or the Broncos, because the Bucks have the last year on Jameis Winston, and it sounds like they're soured on him a little bit. They're giving him one last year with Bruce Arians. The Broncos just got the biggest Band-Aid in the world by trading for Joe Flacco. We'll talk about that in a second. The Lions seem to be good with Stafford. The Bills just got Josh Allen. Jags, maybe. So if I had to guess which one of the teams in the top 10 takes him that's not the Cardinals, I would have to go Broncos, then Buccaneers, and then Jags. So what do you guys think about which team in the top 10 do you think Kyler Murray ends up with if it's not the Cardinals?
Word is that John Elway is in love with that other quarterback whose name escapes me. If you remember it, please chime in. Thank you, Drew Lock.
Oh, yeah. Elway loves Drew Lock. I forgot about that.
So I think you put it out. It's either the Bucks or someone's gonna trade up. This is really feels like these teams are gonna trade back in such a low quarterback year. These rookie quarterbacks are going to be their value is gonna increase because there's not a ton of them like there were last year.
Okay, so the Bucks are maybe. I mean, could Nick Foles be a bridge quarterback to Kyler Murray in Jacksonville? I mean, that's.
Jacksonville's proven anything, it's that they do not have a good ability to analyze talent or cut talent when it's not talented. So I bet you Nick Foles' era goes for at least 5 years.
Oh my God! Hey, if Bort got it, then Nick Foles can. So
exactly.
All right. Before we finish up with Kyler chat, I want to leave you guys with some samples from his player profile, his draft profile on NFL.com. So like I said earlier, he won the Heisman Trophy. He won the Davey O'Brien Award for the best quarterback in college football. He was all conference last year, obviously. You know, he has some issues with his size, his decision-making, his open field choices that he makes. He has trouble, you know, making slides. He's a gunslinger who's too willing to throw into double coverage. He loves hero ball. His decision-making, like I said, is questionable, and those things kind of support that. Good arm, questionable deep ball, but great short and medium accuracy. Extends the play. Great playing off of his base. Great improvising. He has suspect leadership intangibles and may not be taking football seriously. So those all sound kind of like the Kyler Murray profile that you guys have all heard and everything, right?
Why would you want to play football and not baseball?
Well, my point with all those is those are actually the things that he has in his draft profile that were also in the draft profile for Johnny Manziel. So that's the thing with him. Yeah,
that was a hotter take than Gil Brandt.
I'm just leaving that there. I'm not commenting on it, but those were all the things that they seem to encapsulate Kyler Murray well. And those were the things that he had in common with his draft profile and Johnny Manziel had in his draft profile. So I'll move on, and I'm going to ask you guys a question. You know, sometimes I get drastically close, but, you know, when was the last time you guys were at 1.8% body fat? Like DK Metcalf supposedly was.
Yeah,
the cellular level.
Yeah. if you look at all the cells in my body that aren't fat cells, I still think I'm above 1.8% body fat. So DK Metcalf, if you guys haven't seen the picture, came looking like a Marvel superhero.
Oh, I've seen it. It's up on my wall.
It's up on your wall. It's your Fitspiration, huh? And he boasted that he had 1.8% body fat, which is a lot of people have weighed in and said, well, you'd probably be dead if you had 1.8% body fat. So that's probably not correct. But I mean, the man came in at 6'3", 228 pounds. So he came in at a beast of a man. He's kind of a divisive figure because he had college football production, but he had a really bad combine. So I wanted to talk to you guys about, I guess, with him, because he had a fast 40. His speed, burst, and catch radius were all off the charts. But did you guys hear the thing about DK Metcalf's agility drills and Tom Brady's agility drills?
No.
Oh, yeah. Repeat it to me, though. That was a good stat. Okay.
DK Metcalf's three-cone time, 7.38 seconds. His shuttle, 4.5 seconds. Tom Brady's cone, three-cone, 7.2. His shuttle, 4.38. So he had worse agility than Tom Brady.
Good Lord.
And this kind of works with his draft profile and what you see, which is he is strong, big, and fast, but that's kind of what he does. He's strong, big, and fast. He has trouble changing directions. He can get off press coverage at the line, but when it comes to kind of changing direction upfield, that's where he has a problem. Like he doesn't sell route fakes, and he has trouble coming back to the ball in an expeditious manner. You know, his curls are, you know, like trying to turn the Titanic. DK Metcalf, it's kind of a difference between what you see on tape versus questionable competition versus what you see with objective measurements at the combine. When you guys are looking at a rookie wide receiver for fantasy, like what gun to your head and you had to draft DK Metcalf, where do you think you would end up taking him, and for what reason? Would it be more the combine score or more his college production against questionable opponents? All right, then.
I have to wonder if his lack of mobility is due to an excess of muscle. The dude looks like he can barely shampoo his hair. Like, that's how nuts it is. So I'm wondering if maybe they'll get him. I'm also pulling up. Oh, you know, shoot. I'm pulling up Andre Johnson because that's the body type that I think he most resembled to me. And his shuttle was amazing. And they didn't do the three-cone drill back then. So, oh, well. But I have a question. Does DK Metcalf have a nickname? And if so, is it Donkey Kong?
Good one.
What's oddly enough, that's all I can think of when I see the name DK Metcalf. I see the in my head, I see the DK like in Donkey Kong Country on the barrels.
I always type DJ. I always type DJ and have to delete it.
You type DJ Metcalf?
Yeah, super interesting anecdote there, guys. That's what I come with.
N'Keal Harry, another wide receiver prospect coming out that I actually like more than DK Metcalf. I do that with N'Keal Harry. I call him K'Neal Harry, and I don't know why. I don't know why I do that. Every time I try to look it up, I Google K'Neal Harry, and it's like, did you mean N'Keal Harry? But back to my question, what I would lean towards is, my answer would be not drafting him at all, because if he has the real college production and bad combine numbers, it's likely that he's going to need some refinement. Like, people are hand washing or hand waving away his bad agility scores by saying he slipped, you know, his feet weren't perfect. Like, that's a forgivable thing, and that, you know, he can still have production in year one. He can still be a quality player, but that gives me a lot of pause, because I don't want to draft DK Metcalf knowing that he's going to need a ton of work before he's fantasy relevant.
And I don't want to draft a guy who slips.
That's true too. You don't want to draft a guy who slips. And that's the kind of thing that you should be okay being wrong about, rolling this into.
You know who slipped? You know who slipped was Apollo Creed against Dolph Lundgren in Rocky IV, and we saw what happened there.
That's how I feel about, you know, DK Metcalf. But instead of if he dies, he dies, it's if he has a good rookie season, I was wrong. He has a good rookie season, and I was wrong. So, you know, him slipping, if I'm wrong about it, that's the thing about fantasy, is you have to be okay being wrong. And this bad combine testing combined with his scouting profile, I'm kind of staying away from DK Metcalf this year entirely. And that goes into a bigger project that I'm working on about maybe we should not draft rookies at all in fantasy.
Which he broke his foot 3 years ago or 2 years ago. And then last year he had a neck injury that sidelined him, and they're supposedly fine. But both of those injuries are things that happen to people who are putting too much pressure on their feet and necks. And since he's so huge and so muscular and so fast, I have to wonder if that's a recipe for breaking himself. Like, his body just can't keep up with how athletic he is.
Evan, that's a real problem in the NFL. That's why so many ACLs and everything are popping.
If you guys really want to see a comparison to DK Metcalf as far as body type, look up David Boston.
All right.
Another Ohio State guy. Oops, sorry, guys. Another Ohio State.
David Boston. Oh, yeah. That's a big boy.
Height, weight, 40 time are all pretty much right on top of each other with each other.
All right. And so, you know, they're very similar. And David Boston he wasn't good. I'm looking at his stats here. He wasn't good till decent in his second year, good in his third year, and then that was it.
Nothing. He was a big disappointment. Yeah, I followed him because, you know, the Buckeye thing. So
yeah.
And so, he had a great combine too.
Yeah, and so that's actually a good comp, kind of like this guy who has all the measurables and he has all the physical tools and is an all-time athlete, but he might not be able to put it all together at the NFL level, because he can beat press because he's a big guy, but he has trouble downfield with his footwork, and, you know, that'll lead to cornerbacks undoing the press that he broke and them catching up to him. So he could be a disappointment. He's going to go in round one. But I think best case scenario for him is Mike Evans. It's probably a good thing because of, you know, I'm not a huge Mike Evans fan. I think that he has a huge radius. I think Mike Evans has better hands than DK Metcalf, but I could see, you know, as a peak, similar level of production as Mike Evans, but I think it'll take a couple years to get there once he gets refined and gets his hands better.
Metcalf ran the 40-yard dash 0.2 seconds faster than Mike Evans, and he jumped 3.5 inches higher. Mike Evans' three-cone drill, 7.08 seconds.
So he's more agile but slightly slower at his top speed then, is what it sounds like.
What's a good three-cone stat?
Oh, my goodness. Let's see.
How fast could you do the three cone, Mike?
I could do the three cone in probably 8.5 seconds.
All right, so we'll call that a great score.
We'll call that the 99th percentile of the three cone drill. I don't know this individual drills because I usually look at the composite percentile on their agility score. So let's see here. The three cone drill. This is great radio. The record holder is David Long at 6. That's right.
Oh, David Long. Yeah, that guy.
It was a stud.
He's a rookie. He's a cornerback, but he has the smallest at 6.45. So that would put DK Metcalf. He's off the front page. He's not even in the top 15 for this year. So that gives you an idea about where his three cone drill was, which they're saying he slipped, which is supposed to forgive it. But
no, isn't that a key thing? You put too much pressure. You overestimated it. I've seen a pattern here
of a guy who wants to be an athlete and not a wide receiver.
A guy who pushes his body too hard, breaks his foot, slips in the three cone drill, injures his neck.
Yeah, he has a great 40 time goes with that because it's the easiest one to push yourself to do faster in, because agility drills are all about stopping and going, whereas you can train yourself to run as fast as you can. And he's a top level athlete, so he can, you know, really push down his 40 time outside of pads. So that's just a little question I want to talk to you guys about. When a player's, you know, college production doesn't quite match his combine results, you know, what do you take away from that? And it sounds like, you know, we're going to trust the combine results because, as Evan's saying, it gives him a profile of a guy who is pushing. And that definitely seems to be what DK Metcalf is doing with his look at what a great athlete I am versus, you know, these are things that will make me good at the NFL level. And I'm not saying he won't be. I'm saying he won't be his rookie year is what I'm saying. He needs refinement. So that was kind of
the combine is an overhyped piece of fluff. What do you think, Mike?
Oh, it totally is. And I'm looking at the best NFL combine three cone drills right now since 2007. And here, and since we're speaking about wide receivers, here the guys are that have the best three cone drills. Jeff Mile out of Oregon, Scott Long out of Louisville, Dan Sassenbacher at Ohio State, Terrence Tolliver, LSU, Devin Kajust, Stanford, Cecil Shorts, okay, maybe, yeah, he had okay career.
Cecil Shorts.
Damon Copeland, TJ Moe, and Anthony Gonzalez, who was doing pretty well until he got concussed and messed up, but
Tony.
Yeah, Gonzalez? I mean those are the best three cone drill guys at the wide receiver position.
So maybe it's not as indicative of production as it would seem. Maybe I'm a big dumb idiot. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, that's what I'm here for.
Okay, perfect. So now that I'm a big dumb idiot, the clock. So we'll talk about the last thing we want to talk about this week, which was Case Keenum moved to Washington. And it completed a circle of suck that we can talk briefly about each of these teams. But 2018 season, Lamar Jackson replaced Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco, this offseason, was traded to Denver to replace Case Keenum. Case Keenum was, prior to signing with Denver last year, was on Minnesota. He was replaced by Kirk Cousins, who was previously on Washington, who, to replace Kirk Cousins, signed Alex Smith. Alex Smith was injured, is not going to play in 2019, and he was replaced by Case Keenum. So it's the circle of the NFL. So I wanted to bring this up because between all, we'll put Kirk Cousins aside. So we'll talk about Baltimore, Denver, and Washington. Out of those three teams, is there a wide receiver that you guys would draft in the top, say, 36 players? So we're talking Courtland Sutton. We're talking Jamison Crowder, and we're talking, that's pretty much it. So there's this whole quarterback carousel, but ultimately does it matter for fantasy because the wide receivers are without talent or without production? Or do you think that one of these guys might be able to work well with these players? Mike, we'll start with you.
Yeah. You know, I don't, it's hard to say, okay, does the quarterback make the receiver? Does the wide receiver make the quarterback? And when you have both that are just sort of questionable all around, you just wonder, okay, is this going to be a dumpster fire or what? But it always seems like the ones that you pin and put it on in front of everything and say, okay, yeah, definitely 100%, this is going to be a dumpster fire, usually turns out okay. So I don't know. I like Courtland Sutton. He sort of had an up and down year last year, but I like the way he plays. I think he has a lot of talent. And Jamison Crowder, I think he hit a ceiling. We pretty much know what to expect out of him. And yeah, it's just going to be one of those years that you just really don't know, I think.
Okay. And I guess I'll let me roll that back and rephrase this. So outside of Philip Lindsay, who we talked about, or who we have not yet talked about this offseason, and Lamar Jackson, who we did talk about last week, is we think he's being overdrafted. He was what, number 7 on number 8 by ADP?
Yeah.
Huge
like
overdraft. Yeah. And outside, and so you think that Courtland Sutton is one of these guys, but are these three teams that outside of those players, are we hands off? Do we even want Joe Flacco? Do we take a flyer on Royce?
I don't think you can go like hands off, because as you mentioned, Philip Lindsay. I don't see how that could be, you know, hands off. And then, you know, what's out of Washington?
Yeah, I was saying accepting Philip Lindsay, but outside of Washington, like, okay, I'm just going to run down some guys. Darius Geis coming off of a knee injury. Okay, you can take a flyer on him, but you have a crowded backfield there with Chris Thompson, Samaje Perine, and then Josh Doctson, Paul Richardson. That's it for wide receivers. Jordan Reed, Vernon Davis at tight end. So maybe it's just the passing games that we ignore, not the running backs.
It's all complete garbage. Jackson's not going to make a number one receiver. Washington's entire management is a dumpster fire that can't get it together, and John Elway ruins every quarterback he touches.
But I mean, he was a young boy. He's touched himself.
Whoa. I'm low.
All right, that was too much. No, I brought this up for 2 points, which is one, all these passing games are garbage. Denver, Washington, Baltimore, there's nothing there. Baltimore needs to get somebody, or their top wide receiver is going to be Willie Snead next year. Washington is hopeless. Josh Doctson, Paul Richardson, no thank you. And Denver, maybe Courtland Sutton. If Emmanuel Sanders can get his act together, maybe Deshaun Hamilton. But best case scenario for any player in this passing game is you're taking a flyer on him in round 12 for Courtland Sutton, because Manny Sanders probably going to, I mean, he's coming back from a knee injury, so he's not going to be drafted highly. So brought that up just because it was a fun circle of life thing, and also bring up that all these passing games are going to suck and probably be on my do not draft list. Sound right to you guys too?
Yep.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, Mike. Say that again.
Oh, no, go ahead.
If anything, I disagree with Jeff's faint glimmer of optimism.
I was trying to be polite. Mike, what do you think about these passing games?
I have to go with Evan here, and just, you can't count on any of them. You really would like to help the count on Kirk Cousins, but you know, we don't, he's been, you know, around if they're talking whether he's going to be there or not as far as a starting quarterback. I've heard rumors that Washington wants to bring in.
Oh, sorry. You said Kirk Cousins. I was trying to make sure you were talking about, you're talking about Case Keenum, right?
Yeah. Okay. And yeah. I said Kirk Cousins, but I meant Case Keenum. You know, it's just the revolving revolving door that is just crazy. And if Kirk Cousins doesn't start out and become the player that they brought him over for, then you have Case Keenum that is, you know, going to run the show. So I don't know. I just think it's an entire mess.
So, all right, that's 3 out of 32 passing games that are completely hands off, it sounds like. So that's fun. they'll really cut down on what you need to worry about going into your fantasy drafts in 2019, because who you don't draft is almost as important as who you do draft. So that's something to keep in mind, that, you know, have a do not draft list. So, all right, guys. Well, I think that'll do it for this week. That's everything I had. Unless there's something that you guys want to bring up, want to get off your chest, want to talk about. It's the beginning of March. There's not a lot going on in the NFL outside of rumors and, you know, parsing tenths of a second in the combine.
March 13th. What is that? Tuesday. That's when people can tamper. And that's usually the day in recent years where everyone gets traded and it's shocking. So that's really when there'll be some great news to break.
That's the fun day. And that'll make next Friday the fun podcast, is when we can start talking about tampering and who's going to go where, and you know, how many teams are going to use, you know, the 49ers for leverage, which is what always happens. And it's a whole lot of fun. But Mike, anything else you want to?
Yeah, we should know where AB ends up at that point.
Yeah, let's see. There was some rumors that we would find out today, and it's 6 p.m. on Friday, 6:04 to be exact. And I see nothing on Twitter. So he is still a Steeler at this point. So on that, you know, thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Football Absurdity Podcast. You can subscribe to us on Apple Music, anything that uses that database, Spotify. If you do, please review and rate. That would help us out a lot. The website is footballabsurdity.com. Twitter account is fballabsurdity. I'm on Twitter at Jeff Crisco, K-R-I-S-K-O. Mike is on Twitter at RFL Red Zone. Hop into his timeline and tell him if he has gray hairs in his beard. Yesterday, he posted something about that yesterday. And Evan is, and Evan's on.
Send me on Facebook, Evan Hoofler.
Yeah, that's where you can find out.
Yeah, I like people. Talk to me about stuff.
Yeah, so thanks for listening, everybody, and you have a good one. Talk to you later. Bye. Steak for